From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of August 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. But later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. And along the way, I'll tell you about our Ag Outlook panels tonight and tomorrow night. They're in Shelbyville and El Paso, respectively, and about Agronomy Day, which will be held here on this campus tomorrow during the day. Starts at 7 a.m. Make plans to attend one or all of those events if you'd like. It's all part of the Agricultural Service from the University of Illinois. This program is the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. And at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day in the nearby soft red winter wheat pit higher. The September contract settled 727.5, up 2.75. July of next year, the harvest month at 803.5, up 5.75. In Kansas City, the hard red July at 851.25, up 5.25. And the spring wheat in Minneapolis at the grain exchange settled $9.16.75, up 20.5 cents. September corn back in Chicago at the CME Group, 2.5 cents lower, $7.11.5. The final trade, December at 725.5 a bushel, down 2 cents in the corn pit. And the March contract, 738.5, a penny and 3/4 lower. May futures, $7.42.75, down 2.25. July at 744.75, 2.75 lower. And next year's December at $6.50.5, up 0.25 cents. September soybeans at 13.56.75, up 16.75. November at 13.66.75, up 17.25. January beans at 13.77.75, up 17.5. And next year's November at 13.34.25, up 15.75. Livestock settled the nearby October contract in the live cattle at $117.40, down $2.77.5 today. September feeders at $135.42.5 for $1.95 lower, and the October lean hogs at $87.40, down $2 on the afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, $87.55 a barrel, up 90 cents. Ethanol at $2.80.5, 0.8 of a cent higher. Natural gas at $3.93.7, up 0.5 cent. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.96.7, 3.5 cents higher. Gold futures at $1,791 on their finish with 20 cents to spare, up $8.80. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,376, currently trading just about 29 points lower. The dollar at 73.69. down 0.31 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast is calling for from the National Weather Service in Urbana-Champaign. This afternoon, mostly cloudy skies, a high of 85 degrees. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a low of 63. Mostly sunny tomorrow, a high of 85. And Thursday, mostly clear, a low of 60 degrees. Northwest winds at 3 to 5 miles an hour. Friday, mostly sunny, a high of 87. And calm winds out of the south and to southeast. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 65. Saturday, a 30% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high near 85 degrees. And Saturday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 68. By the time we get to Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 85 degrees. Sunday night should show us partly cloudy skies, a low of 65. Monday, sunny and 81. Monday night, cloudy and 59. And Tuesday of next week, sunny with a high near 80 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour, and we talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. You can always hear what Drew has to say or any of our analysts online. We post it not long after it airs on our home radio station, WILL. You find those at willag.org. That's WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, is on the phone line. Hi, Paul. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Todd?
Well, I heard my very first state of Illinois corn harvest number. Have you heard any yet?
No, not official. Harvested. We've had several guest estimates on yields.
Well, I've got one. Came from south of Springfield. I've got the numbers in there. These are good. 165 bushels to the acre. That's adjusted dry weight. Came out at 26%.
Mm.
So there's your first number. That one I happened to hear earlier today, so I thought I'd pass that one
along.
What
was the moisture on that?
It was 26%.
26%, okay.
But the 165 is adjusted. That's the dry weight.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. There's the first one, but that's much better than what they got in Douglas County of, 147.5 last week. I think the folks at Top Flight were out. For those of you who are listening online or at other radio stations, that's a grain elevator company in our area between here and Decatur. And they were in, I think, Piatt and Macon and Champaign County, maybe some other places. And they were at, 148, right? So some different numbers.
And Coles, and of course, Coles County, we mentioned that one. And then, you know, you mentioned Douglas County, I think, as well. So
yeah, no,
there's
what was
a lot.
Coles? I missed that one.
146.15.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, the general feeling is from these guest estimates that, and with this continuation of warm, dry weather in the Midwest, that the yields are could be getting a little smaller. Some other private firms have dropped their number as well. There is basically a forecast Friday and Saturday for some rain, and some of the weather forecasters inched it up just a little bit. The one I have the most confidence in says 0.8 for Champaign, Illinois on Saturday or Sunday time frame. And, of course, that will help and stabilize the soybean crop considerably.
Lots of things that have been impacting the marketplace. A Freedom of Information Act was applied to USDA and NAST numbers, FSA, and there was some suggestion that those numbers need to come out earlier than what USDA and NAST has been incorporating them into their USDA reports. NAST appears to be going to hold steadfast and say, we've watched them in the past, and we think that we need to slowly bring them in because they adjust over time. So they're not going to give us any updated acreage numbers again until the October report, at least for corn and soybeans.
That's right. And it did have a big influence on the market. And the first idea was the preventive planting, and then the next end is abandonment. And, of course, the abandonment acres would be in Kansas and Oklahoma and Texas and some of those extremely dry areas in the Southwest. And those are numbers that we have to watch carefully. And also it did change some of the wheat acreage considerably. And it did have a major impact on the market, per se, when they came out yesterday. And whenever you mention acres and this kind of a dry weather situation, and every little bit of information like that pushes the market considerably.
Now, you sent me a Wall Street Journal article in email today. I read that. Chinese hunger for corn stretches the farm. It was an interesting article. Tell me about what you found of interest in it, and why do you think it's important?
Well, it was a twofold deal that, you know, the Chinese, like the U.S., industrial giants here in the U.S. Use corn, particularly in the wet process, to several major usage, from starch to corn sweetener to, of course, corn gluten feed and, of course, ethanol. And the Chinese have learned how and masterfully to use those same new high technology processing ideas in corn as well, in corn oil. The big factor here, of course, is CBS last night talked about the improved Chinese diet, showed a family eating on a back porch, and eating, you know, the basic idea was the consumption of cattle, pork, and chicken. Beef is almost like the consumer in Champaign County, in the Midwest, and in the United States. So it does show that, and you multiply this fact with that they are craving our lifestyle. And I can always remember when I was a young merchandiser and with ADM there that they mentioned the concept that Mr. Andrea said that, you know, anything that works in the United States works around the world, and it's definitely that concept in China. They want the same nice things that we've been used to, and the food intake is just going up considerably.
And they have to have the corn from the United States.
And protein, well, they're doing a masterful job on increasing their corn production, but there is a limit, and with you compound that with their tremendously large livestock herds, their new technology and trying to raise hogs just like we do in Illinois and Iowa and Nebraska and Indiana, they're pushing the consumption levels to new heights, and they are toying and have toyed with imports. Also, it did talk about major grain companies and major industries here in the U.S. The big three or four are gearing up to supply that market.
Hey, one final thing before I let you go. Producers are going to be wondering in this area, they probably sold maybe more corn than they want, what they ought to do. And then there will be others who have got a pretty decent crop, and they're looking at a $7 cash bid, and they're wondering whether they should just sell it across the scale.
Well, my intake and input, and this is my opinion and not necessarily the companies or ADM or ADM investors, but I think that with this in mind, that this carryover and crop size we have, and if we have a stable economy in the Dow close to 12,000, I think we'll see $8 sometime next year in corn, probably in the July time frame. I think it's going to be a carbon copy of what we saw this year.
Paul, thank you so much.
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He joins us on a Wednesday afternoon from his office in Oakland, Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with all the agricultural news for the afternoon. He was in Tuscola at the Farm Bureau building last night there in Douglas County. They had a really good meeting along with Jackie Bakes and Bill Mayer, Kurt Kimmel, and Chuck Shelby. Tonight, I'll be in Shelbyville at the Lions Club at 6 o'clock with dinner, and then at 7 o'clock, our Ag Outlook meeting. Again, those are always free. Come if you'd like at 7 o'clock for the Ag Outlook meeting. Tonight, we'll talk with Daryl Good and Pete Manhart and Matt Bennett at the Lions Club. That's on East North 9th Street in Shelbyville. Dave will be busy again tomorrow night. He'll be in El Paso at the El Paso Golf Course Clubhouse at 6, a light dinner at 7 o'clock, the Will Ag Outlook meeting, Jackie Bakes there, Mike Zuzulo, and Kurt Kimmel. That's tomorrow night in El Paso. During the day tomorrow, make sure that you make a visit to campus right here in Urbana-Champaign for Agronomy Day starting at 7 a.m. And through about the noon hour, I'll be sending the rack wagons into the South Farms Research Plots. And you'll be able to listen to the faculty members, administrators, and researchers that have been doing work for you all season long. It's Agronomy Day. It's always free, and you can come at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. if you bring somebody interested in gardening. There will be a bus leaving from the seed house there at the South Farms, headed over to the Arboretum, and they'll take guided tours. That's 60 acres of beautiful park-like setting. And there are about 1,000 plants that have been labeled. So if you know somebody who really likes to garden and would like to check out some brand new plants, they can at Agronomy Day tomorrow, 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. are the tours. for Arboretum, but 7 a.m. through the noon hour, there will be four different tours into the research plots. Of course, we'll talk about pest management and seed vigor and hybrid selection and a bit about miscanthus and energy crops. Agronomy Day is a great big function on the campus, about 1,000 folks. If you're coming in, Lincoln Avenue is probably not going to be the best in the world. After about 8:30 a.m., if you get there around 6, 7, it'll be okay. But tomorrow's move-in day on campus, so avoid coming through campus itself. As you get to the South Farms research plots are just to the east of the Assembly Hall on St. Mary's Road. Starts at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. Now here's Dave with today's Ag News.
In agricultural news, House Ways and Means Chairman Dave Camp and Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus said that the U.S. cannot afford further delay in approving pending free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. The two lawmakers chose yesterday, the same day that a Colombia-Canada free trade pact went into force, to voice their concerns. In a statement, Camp pointed out that the U.S.-Colombia FTA was signed before Colombia and Canada even started their negotiations. Separately, Baucus said the Canada-Colombia Pact gives U.S. competitors a leg up and underscores the importance of coming together quickly to pass the pending trade agreements. The U.S. and Brazil today will formally launch a strategic energy dialogue with the aim of fostering development of safe, secure, and affordable energy in an environmentally sound way. The U.S. and Brazil are the global leaders in ethanol production, and one goal of the strategic dialogue is for the two nations to work together to build a larger global market for biofuels. The Minneapolis Grain Exchange says it will allow wheat from outside the U.S. to be delivered against its hard red spring wheat futures contract. The change will be effective no later than May 2013 contract month. The majority of non-U.S. spring wheat deliveries will likely come from Canada. The Obama administration yesterday says it will spend up to $510 million to subsidize the production of biofuels not made from corn. The funding would cover the costs of constructing or retrofitting refineries for so-called advanced biofuels made from animal waste, algae, or other material that can run existing aircraft, ships, or other equipment. Deere & Company reported a 15% increase in quarterly profit today, helped by international demand for large machines and a weaker U.S. dollar. Net earnings were $712 million, or $1.69 per share. That's in the fiscal third quarter ending July 31st, up from $617 million, or $1.44 per share a year ago. Sales rose 22% to $8.37 billion. Equipment sales were up 24% to $7.72 billion. Moline, Illinois-based Deere, says it expects full-year net income of $2.7 billion. In May, it estimated $2.65 billion. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs that you can listen to online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Something else that you can think about as we get ready for the harvest season, or if you're just a gardener and a yard owner, you might wonder what happens with that crabgrass that's out in your lawn and what you might do yet this fall to revitalize it after such a harsh and hot summer. It was a perfect spring and summer for crabgrass, says University of Illinois turf grass specialist Tom Voigt. The spring was a bit wet, and the cool season turf grasses did not have to do much to get a good drink of water. Consequently, the root zone was shallow. And then things dried up, and in late June, lawns turned brown almost overnight, says Voigt. Well, except for the crabgrass, which found itself basking in the sunlight. What to do? You'll be surprised that the answer is probably nothing, at least with the crabgrass.
Well, I think at this point, there's not much you can do. The plants are quite large. There are some post-emergence herbicides that can be applied, but for the most part, they tend to work better if they're applied as the crabgrass plants are smaller. We are at a time of the year when you can help your turf improve. If the turf is very thin and much of it dead, this is a time that when it can be reestablished or overseeded. Throughout much of the area, the middle of August to the middle of September is an ideal time to perform those activities. We also want to make sure that we fertilize sometime in early September. That's the most important fertilization of the year. It helps the turf recover from summer and get ready to go into winter activities.
An important note here, those deciding to overseed their lawns should use a fertilizer-only treatment. Do not use a weed and feed. The seedling grasses cannot tolerate the herbicide well, at least this fall.
By the time next spring rolls around, the turf should be mature enough and in good enough shape that where you could apply a pre-emergence herbicide, if that's the method you decided you'd want to use to reduce crabgrass infestations next year.
So it's time to overseed the lawn now, if needed. You can core aerate, too. That is, run the machine across the lawn that pulls the plugs out of the soil. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us today, Scott Butcher. He's with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Scott. Let's start off with your bids for the afternoon and tell me whether that's prompted any farmers to make any new crop sales, please.
Right now, cash stuff, we're $7.36 on corn and $13.52 on beans. New crop, $7.17 and $13.27. So, you know, definitely interesting levels for new crop stuff. Guys that, don't have a lot of stuff sold might be looking at those levels. But I think most of our customers, probably with where they were before, with the heat and stress and everything that we've encountered here the last, couple of months or whatever, we've, seen sales slow down considerably.
Now, are you saying that they're just a little scared to make the sale, or are they scared that they have the bushels and they don't want to make the sale?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that they're probably scared that they, may not have enough bushels. They're more concerned about, what they have right now, figuring out, what they already have sold, and then, figure out what their production is, and hopefully they've got enough that they can sell more. But I think everybody's just kind of being cautious at the moment.
That would suggest that they're what, 50 or 60% sold ahead?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I think in our area, most guys were probably 50 to 60% sold. We saw good levels, above $6, really seemed to move a lot of new crop corn. And as we continued to get closer and closer to seven, we saw sales continue. So it makes sense to me that we would be around those levels.
I've got 20 seconds left. I've got your numbers already. Anybody soon to harvest in your area?
I don't think so, Todd. I think we're probably the end of August before we see anything, beginning of September. So we've got a little while to go yet before we see anybody try to do anything. A lot of it depends on weather, how fast it matures, and that'll be mostly weather that'll be from here on out.
Thanks much.
Thanks, Todd.
It's National Vanilla Custard Day. Vanilla was originally cultivated in the New World. The Spanish brought vanilla pods to Europe in the 1520s, but the effort proved unsuccessful. Little did the conquistadors know that it was a New World species of bee that pollinated the vanilla orchid. It was not until 1841 that it was discovered that the vanilla bean could be hand-pollinated, leading to the eventual global cultivation of the plant. It's also St. Mammoth's Day, patron of shepherds. On this day in agricultural history, the balloon is celebrated. In 1859, the first airmail in the U.S. took off from Lafayette, Indiana, in a balloon. 119 years later, in 1978, the balloon Double Eagle II completed the first crossing of the Atlantic Ocean by balloon. The 3,100-mile flight took 6 days. The underside of the gondola was a twin-hulled catamaran in case the three-man team had to bail out over water. In 1906, Rutgers and the New Jersey Agricultural Experiment Station teamed up to hold the first Ag Field Day to let farmers become better acquainted with experiments that could benefit them. And in 1986, a bronze statue of a pig was dedicated at Seattle's Pike Place Market. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated is with us to discuss the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, I'd like to talk about East Central, Central Illinois, and then along the Missouri-Iowa border, where over the last week they had been moved into kind of a flash drought on the drought monitor. Although we've had some rainfall, do you think that's taken them out of danger? And specifically, I guess I'm talking more about the soybean crop than the corn crop at this point.
Yeah, I think we do have some problems still hanging on there. We definitely got a little bit of rainfall, and that was good. We have a little bit more coming, and that's going to be good too, but I'm still not convinced that we're going to fix everything that's broke here, and we may fall back into some more drier weather. The thunderstorms that are advertised to come out across some of this region over this next 3 days or so will end up bringing in, again, some temporary lifting of the topsoil moisture. We're seeing a lot of variation in the model forecast as to where the better rains are going to fall, which tells us that there's going to be a lot of sporadicness in the rainfall. In other words, the stronger thunderstorms are going to occur in some counties and not in others. So we're going to end up with still a situation where we still have dryness out there prevailing in some locations. The majority of those soybeans that are in the region still have a few weeks here where they need to pick up on some additional precipitation. So if we miss this event, we will be scrambling pretty hard to try to find some more moisture. There's a tropical cyclone that is supposed to be coming along sometime towards the end of next week towards the southeastern United States. And if that ends up occurring as suggested, there will be a great depression in the rainfall potential across the Midwest, which means that this may be our last chance for a decent rain across some of these drier pocketed areas, at least for a good week to maybe 10 days. I don't want to imply it'll be completely dry. But this may be our last really good chance for rain. Amounts are supposed to run mostly quarter to three-quarters of an inch with some local one-and-a-half-inch amounts.
As you look at the models, is there any one model that says, and I'm going to talk about East Central Illinois at this point, that East Central Illinois will be a target for good rainfalls?
Actually, that's been one of the few areas that has not been played up for better rains than relative to the western part of Illinois. So there will be some rain, definitely, and I think that we can get maybe a localized strong thunderstorm to occur, but that's too much of a gamble at this point. I think it'd be best just to accept the fact that maybe a quarter to three-quarters of an inch is going to be the best that we can do there. If we manage to get a stronger storm and it's not out of the realm of possibilities, then certainly we'll be quite fortunate to have that.
Just about a minute left. Tell me about the corn crop in China.
China is doing very well. There's not many problems in that country right now, and it's been that way for a while. So I think they're probably going to be looking at a favorable production year. There are some pockets out there that had issues earlier in the season, so they might have lost a little yield here, there, and yon. But for the most part, it's going to be a fairly decent crop.
Drew, thanks so much.
Well, have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on this Wednesday afternoon. If you have the opportunity, join me tonight in Shelbyville at the Lions Club, 7 o'clock for our Ag Outlook meeting. Daryl Good, Matt Bennett, and Pete Manhart are on that one. Dave will be at the El Paso Golf Course tomorrow evening. Again, that at 7 o'clock for another Ag Outlook meeting. Don't forget, Agronomy Day here on campus starts at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning. I hope to see you there. Have a good day. I'm Todd Gleason.